The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What the fuck is happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast on the 1st of August. This has been the first time in quite some time that I've been wearing a motherfucking hoodie. Because it is pishing down outside. It's freezing. Do you know what I'm saying? Anyway, off the top, what I want you to do, if you're new to the podcast, if you've been listening for a while and you've never rated and reviewed the motherfucking podcast, give it a rate and review. If you're listening to the podcast and you've subscribed a long time ago and you're on, you know, Apple Podcast app, and you fucking look down and it's a blue square with me standing in the middle, like this. That's the old artwork, bro. Go into it, unsubscribe, resubscribe. The artwork will update. It looks sexy as shit. So there you go. That's about it. If you want to support the podcast, get yourself a General Banter t-shirt, podcast t-shirt. And that'll be in sale on callgettus.com. We're doing new ones of them. We're going to do a full merch replenish. And we're going to flog some of the old merch. And if you really want to get real fucking hardcore, if you want to be part of the Dead On Mafia, get over to patreon.com/GeneralBanterPodcast. This is a system whereby if you feel like you would like to contribute to the podcast to ensure that I put out 2 podcasts a week, throw me fucking $3 or whatever. I don't know why it's dollars. They always work in dollars. And Patreon, they probably say Patreon, these fucking Americans, do they? Anyway, what happens is you donate a small amount, it builds up from everyone who donates over the month, and then I vomit on my own microphone, and then it pays out once a month, and that kind of goes back into the podcast shit, you know, new merch, new equipment. I imagine the first thing we'll do is get mics, brand new mics up on this bitch, because these are supposed to be podcast mics. And then I did a podcast with our boy Matthew from fucking Best of Belfast, and he just had 2 basic ass fucking Shure microphones, and the sound quality was incredible. You know, the 2, like a mic you would use for just regular old fucking stand up. He had 2 of those and it was amazing. You know what I'm saying? So, probably look into that. We'll look into getting this recorded better. All sorts of shit for all you people out there. And that's it. Become part of the Dead On Mafia, patreon.com. And that's it, bros. Yet to sort out, I'm going to do that today, yet to sort out something cool for the people who are patrons. What other shit, if you're listening to this before tonight, Lavery's Comedy Club is tonight as usual. It's going to be great crack. We got Lisa Casey coming up from down south. We got Ronan Linsky, we got Dave Elliott, you know, so some faces that you don't see all the fucking time around there. And that's about it. I'll play this motherfucking intro and then we'll get duck in, deck first.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis.
Right about now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul.
Colin Jettis.
It's Jettis, actually.
Jettis.
Jettis.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you.
Yeah, boy!
We're back. I nearly got a cramp in my fucking neck there. First of all, I just want to say thanks to everyone who came out to our show at Mandela Hall. It was fucking, it was bananas, bro. It was fucking, first of all, you know, what they do is they put it on like 400 seats. That's it. That's all their seats laid out. And then what happened was I announced that the tickets were out, and about half of them sold straight away. All the real hardcore sons of bitches were just like, they bought a ticket straight away. And then I didn't really do much more promotion. I was like, 200's fucking decent, you know what I mean? If I was a professional, I would have jumped right on it. Got it fucking sold out. But instead, a couple of weeks went by. Didn't bother promoting it that much, other than talk about it on a podcast. And then I made a silly video about accents, basically as a reaction to a lot of videos I'd seen, where people were like, oh, my mate can do all the accents, and then he just could vaguely do some. And they were so fucking annoying. Borderline racist. And I decided to do a piss take of that, put an ad on the end of it, and then the next time I checked on tickets, a couple of days after that, they're like, yeah, you've sold like 398. So that was, it was technically sold out, you know what I mean? Technical sellout is when the bulk of the tickets are gone and there's only a couple of fucking stray ones. Then I spoke to them and they were like, listen, what we can do is we can squeeze a few people in if you don't mind people standing and shit. And I was like, as long as they don't mind standing, that's fucking grand. So put those on sale, they sold out too. So our gig was sold out as fuck, you know? A few people had to stand, hope you still had an okay time. Stand up on the balcony, whatever. Did the show. It's weird doing a stand-up show because I feel like if it was in a rock band, you could really get ramped up and drink a load of beers and fucking go and get stuck in. Whereas I was speaking to Kira McMullen, photographer, follower on Instagram. I was like, I bet you this is really weird, like out the back of a comedy gig. It's quite tense. I'm sure rock gigs are all fucking, yeah, beers and hugging each other and high-fiving. And I was like, it's probably weird for you to be out here and it's just me and Mickey pacing up and down, fucking shitting our pants. You know? So, very nervous on the way, on the lead up to it. We'd done a lot of prep video-wise. I say we, me, at about 3 in the fucking morning, bro. You know? And then, on the night, I had to double check a few days before. I was like, listen, we did a projection at the Limelight last podcast. Can we do that this one? They're like, yeah, the Queens have two screens either side of the stage. And I went, that actually works better, because before me and Mickey had to stand at the side of the stage and then there was a projection up the middle. So this time they were like, yeah, no bother. So I, first of all, fuck my life. I bought Microsoft Office off the internet because I hadn't got it on this computer yet. And I bought it off some software website and I thought, I'll not get the latest one because I have a lot of older fucking documents and shit. I'll get like the 2000, what was it, 13 or 11 or something. Bought that. Go to fucking install it. Gives you the key. I put the key in. Goes, oh, this isn't working at the minute. You got to phone them. You can tell I'm getting pissed off because I feel like my watch is too warm for me now. It's too warm to be wearing this watch. So I fucking ring the people. And the guy's like, nah. This is exactly what he sounded like. He's like, I'm afraid you have purchased an obsolete software. And I went, so a website let me pay for this, even though it's fucking out of date? And he's like, yes, I'm sure, where the fuck do you buy it from? Nah, should I have bought this? Office 365 is the same way as Adobe is now. You don't just buy the software, you kind of fucking subscribe to it. Anyway, I had software, it didn't work, so I had to fucking get the Office 365. Paying for that, paid for the other one. Asshole, had to get PowerPoint. Made this fucking PowerPoint. Inserted videos into it, so it would go like freeze frame, which was me and Mickey like this. And then just posing. And then it said General Banter Podcast. And that was for in between the videos, so I had to go. It was about 30 slides long. It was like, slate, video, blank slate, video, every time I wanted a video played. And how that works is I would stand on stage and we would have a sort of guided conversation that would work with these videos. And I would go, what do you see this? Click a video. And then we talk about it for a minute. And it's pretty cool. And yeah, it wouldn't work. So we plugged it in. Nothing fucking happened. You know? It goes, we go up into the box, trying to figure it out, moving between fucking goddamn computers and software and changing it and doing all this shit, and it wouldn't work. And this is literally 7:20, and there's people queued up to get in, and I'm like, this isn't going to work, these videos aren't going to fucking work. And then eventually they got it fucking working, but it had to be operated in the sound booth. So I, from the stage, I had to be like, can we play that video? And it just made it a wee bit more awkward, probably I don't know if anyone noticed that, but it made it a little bit weird. I'm just looking at the trending page of YouTube here, just to fucking switch gears for a second. How the fuck do you become... I mean, I wish I was a real YouTuber, you know what I mean? Because I have like 30,000 plus fucking subscribers, and I put up a vlog and it gets about 1,000 views. And then you got a fucking, you know, you got a creator on the rise here. Cambridge University fucking vlogs. How the fuck is that? I don't know, I might watch it and it might be good. I mean, she looks like a fairly hot girl. I don't know if that helps at all. What I'm saying is, the show wasn't running as smooth as I'd liked up until that point. But anyway, went on, did stand-up. And the good thing about doing a gig in front of like 500 people is a bit that you've just sort of written, like that week, you can go up on stage and do it, and then people clap after you say it, and you're like, oh, that is that funny? Thank fuck, because if I'd have went and tried new material at like an open mic, you know, the Pavilion or the American Bar, wherever the fuck they're doing these open mics now, it would have died on its hole. But you do it in front of that many people, and most of them laugh, you're like, I'm fucking Dave Attell right now. I'm a goddamn joke-telling genius. But, yeah, that felt good. And then, obviously, we did a break, and then we went back on. And, of course, the place is full of very nice people, apart from the front row. You're like, why did these fucking lunatics sit in the front row? And then it's all like, I'm from Lurgan. And you're like, okay. Saying I'm from Lurgan is like going, this night's ruined, you know? And this guy was like, oh, his mate was like, this guy's on your fucking Patreon and all that shit. No, do you know what? Take it off. Take it off, bro. Because I don't want it. Fucking, why sit in the front and then not shut your fucking face the whole time? And like every time someone turned around and went, mate, will you shut the fuck up? The guy goes, yeah! Like he's won. Yeah, that's what I wanted. I'm surprised the other 400 people in the place didn't just fucking drag you outside and jump on your head. That drives me fucking nuts, like. And shout out to Mandela Hall, here closing down, but why have so many security people in the room if they're just going to stand there and be like, okay. You fucking crowd surf at a gig, they just take you out the front, or fuck you out the side. Do you know what I mean? You're crowd surfing at a fucking rock gig where there's like mosh pits, and they'll take you and just walk you outside and be like, see you later. I don't know if they do that or not, but they certainly take you, drag you down and fuck you out. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what's the difference? That's happened to me a few times. I remember gigging in Armagh, and it was, you can either do, this is in the Marketplace Theatre, you can either do a gig in a theatre in tiered seating, that's like a theatre style seating like this, on a ramp almost. And you're not allowed to bring drink in. But if you do a cabaret style, which is on the floor with round tables, you can bring drink in. So these ones are fucking all like, what do you want? I'm going to a bar here. What do you want? Like literally, I'm going to a bar. What do you want? Do you want Magner? And then he'd walk 10 meters and turn around and go, did you say Magners? Trisha, did you say Magners? I don't know. I might have a gin and tonic now. Oh, fuck's sake. And this is going on. And it would not shut the fuck up. And then you'd say something and then they'd all, ha ha ha. And then they'd all have a conversation with each other. Massively disruptive, and you're like, listen, I'm gonna talk for 1 hour, shut the fuck up for 1 hour, and it's not for me, like, I already have your money, it's everyone else who's also paid, and you're ruining their fucking, I literally don't know how people don't have the self-awareness to be like, I'm making a cunt out of myself, and ruining the night. Several people fucking tweeted me, like, show was great, shame these fucking ones beside us wouldn't shut the fuck up, and you're like, you feel terrible. You're like, I wish I could fuck. Like, I almost feel like giving your fucking money back. But what should actually happen is you fucking turn around to them and be like, you pay for my ticket because you fucked my night up. Drives me fucking insane. Like, absolutely not. If it was anywhere else, do you know what I mean? If it was the cinema, someone would go out and go, there's a guy in there talking really loud and won't shut up and is shouting at the screen. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny how, like, you know, if that was a cinema and the guy was shouting at the screen, you would go, there's a fucking mentalist in here shouting at a screen. But if you're paid into a show, which costs a lot more than a fucking cinema, and you sit at the front shouting, everyone just kind of politely sits there like, well, he's mental and he's been having a drink. And the security are like, I don't know, is this what happens? Do people fucking scream over the whole show? There should be, every gig I do from now on, there's going to be like a debriefing at the start and be like, see if I have to fucking respond to a heckle. You see, people get so drunk. It's, you know, it used to be like someone heckles you, you tell them you, there's a good heckle comeback, whatever, and then they just shut up. That doesn't happen anymore. People are like, he spoke to me. Let me just fucking talk for the whole fucking time. Maniac. This guy was just like, I, what do you call that, comedy or something? And he'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah! Fucking, oh my God. If you're a fan of what I do and you want me to fucking just call you a cunt to your face, we can Skype once a week, you know what I mean? Oh, it's Colin. Hello. Hello, you fucking stupid cunt. At home. Oh my God. But anyway, yeah, we're trying to do a fucking show and these ones in the front were just a fucking nightmare. And by the way, recorded, all got recorded, you know. Several cameras. Audio. So forever there will be a version of that where you can let people go, see that fucking knobhead shouting out over and over again? That's me. Unbelievable. But other than that, unbelievable night, you know, great times, cheers for coming out, maybe 500 people, I don't know what it was, 500, it was like 400, maybe that's too many people for a live podcast, you know, I listen to like fucking the Blind Boy podcast, and he's, you know, this is the thing, we're trying to be funny and make it fun and a bit rowdy, like a night out, but what happens is, I just don't understand how, like, the Blind Boy podcast can be like, oh, I'm doing a live podcast and I'm just going to interview a fucking, you know, some sort of fucking feminist activist, and everyone just sits there nice and quiet listening like it's a fucking TED Talk. You know, but there wasn't a second where me and Mickey could have had a discussion about anything. It was just like a pile of fucking dirty stories talking about dicks. Here's a video. We had to just force it out, sweating like, by the way, the heat up there was upsetting. And not upsetting, upsetting. It was fucking roasting. There was literally sweat dripping off my elbows, and like, I look around at Mickey, and it was sweat dripping off his, and we're just so fucking warm, like. And the one day of the year that I decided to wear fucking jeans. It was insane, and like, what the fuck is I gonna say? Yeah, there was one bit where at the end we decided to play like flip dick, so we had that big fucking dildo that we have, and we were like flipping it, and if it landed on its on the bottom, Mickey had to drink some drinks that people kept bringing up, which is another nightmare. As soon as somebody, I sort of said like, I'd reckon we get another beer up here, talking to like, maybe like Maureen or somebody who's knocking about, who could run up. Someone, oh, actually, do you know who it was? It was fucking Kyle from the Food Factory in Belfast, who had just got some sweet Vans off, and he fucking left the beers up, and I was like, oh, sweet bro, drank some beer. And then people just kept leaving up fucking Jager bombs, shots. And then these girls come up and they were like, do a shot with us. And you're like, oh really? I just have to fucking, in the middle of a show, stop and do shots with you. Anyway, but cheers to everyone who did that. But you were nearly killed us. And we had to drink the fucking shots playing that game. But we had a sort of tall table. And at one stage I had to clear beer bottles off it. So this table was empty. So we'd flip the deck onto it. And I lifted an empty bottle of Budweiser. And it was fucking, you could have ironed a shirt with it. It was so hot. And I was like, fuck, I thought I was just panicking, sweating up here. And then I felt that bottle and was like, it's fucking, it is, that's, that bottle is warm. Like someone handed you a fucking cup of tea. That's how warm it was. In fact, this cup of tea right here, man, was not as warm as those bottles. So we fucking sweated the bit out, like. And that was it. Did some shouting about and then left the stage. Hung about in there, drinking some beer, talking some shit. You know, went to the parlour, which I haven't been in fucking years. It's a good night. It's a good night all around. Next day went to fucking, actually, no, that was Friday night. Twice I was in Mandela Hall. Went to motherfucking... what day did we had a busy week? Went to Silent Valley on Thursday, I think. Which, you know, is as anticlimactic as you could imagine. People go there for a walk, but it's like, do you drive that far and then go for a walk? Or do you just put your fucking shoes on and just walk for like an hour and then come back to your house? And Google a picture of a dam. But anyway, it's good crack. Walked off it. You know? Couldn't find anywhere to eat on the way home. Had to come the whole way back. But anyway, Friday as well, back to Mandela, was the Farewell Mandela gig. And so I watched You From Afar were headlining. There was many, many other bands on. Did I see any of them? No. Because, you know, you're at someone's house. You're pre-drinking. One thing leads to another. And then you're like, well, we'll get a taxi at 10, half. And then we'll get it at 11. And then by the time you fucking actually get in it, we got there and just basically sprinted in and knew everybody. Do you know what I'm saying? Took an hour, took 45 minutes to get from the door to the fucking bar. Met some old friends. That was great. Just fucking every cunt walked past. Oh, what's happening, man? Either I knew them or someone knew me. And it just took fucking ages. And people have no chill for, like, you know, you're talking to someone, you're like quite close to them, it's quite packed, you're talking like this, and someone will literally just, in the middle of those two people, go like, can I get a photo real quick? And you're like, yeah, sure. It wasn't like I was talking to a mate of mine and I haven't seen him in fucking years. Go ahead. So anyway, I did that. So I watched You From Far came on. Unbelievable. Played loads of old songs. That was nice, you know. What do you call it? Grit Teeth, Clench Fist, Go, bro. Unbelievable. A little solitaire goes a long way. A little solid. I type in Clench Fists and it just brings up fucking How to Get Over Stress Dreams. What the fuck? Yeah, A Little Solidarity goes a long way, which is like one of my favorite songs of theirs ever. And it's weird because, you know, I haven't heard them play. I've seen them live loads. Haven't seen them play that ever. But it's weird as fuck. Because it's like when I seen the White Stripes at fucking Hyde Park, when you really love something so much, you want to go see it, and you think you're going to go fucking buck mad, and then, like, I seen the White Stripes, and I was just like, just fucking in the middle of everyone going mad, me just standing there like, God. Same with them, I was like, I fucking love this song, never heard it live, listen to it all the fucking time. That's my, see if you're like, you know, on a flight, or like a long flight, and you're flying back into like, Ireland or Belfast or Dublin, that's the fucking tune, bro. That's the one you put on. And I heard it live, and I, you know, everyone's gone mad. And that one, I was just like, you know, when you get, you're like proper fucking euphoric, you're just standing there in the lights and everything, and you're just like, ah, that's mad. You know, and then we hit the mosh pit real hard. Actually ran into the guy who, his name was Paul, who ran a gig in Uri, who was the guy who came up to me one time. He's like, oh, do you remember we met it? And so I watched You From Afar. And I went, nah, bro, I was out of my fucking mind. And he goes, oh, yeah, I asked, like, I asked you to pick me up and throw me in the fucking thing to crowd surf. And you just picked me up by the jeans and threw me. And nobody caught me and I just fucking hit the floor. And I went, glad you remember that, because I don't remember any of that shit. But yeah, it was unreal. And then got given some drugs afterwards. Thanks to that guy. Didn't know what to do with it. Freaked out. Give it to Mickey. Don't know what happened. I think he gave it away. Sorry, bro. But it was in my hand before I even knew what it was. I was like, oh, what's crack, man?
I don't deal well with cappuccinos, let alone white powder. Mickey, take this off me.
I get offered the most drugs, you know? Everyone offers me drugs everywhere. Right, mate, I know you like coke. There you go, mate. Cheers. Son taking a piss. Mate, do you know where I can get any ease? Why would I know? In Mexico, hey, you want to do some blow? Nope. You want some weed, bro? What you want? You want weed? You want pills? Nope. Now that I've offered you drugs, I will offer you the wares of my shop. You want coke? No. You want weed? No. You want me to engrave your name on a silver knife? What you want, bro? You want a luxury carpet?
I love that. I know you're clearly on holidays. You're clearly on vacation. Where are you from? Ireland, yeah? What do you want, an 8x12 rug? Hey, that'll go in your hand luggage. Hey, bro, would you want a surfboard? And I know Tui only has a 25k restriction on bags. Do you want a hand-carved bench? No, I'm all right. I'm all right, mate. I see your hand luggage has to fit in this small cage, size-wise, but, you know. You could always take this 12-foot totem pole statue. Totem pole's on a, like a Native American thing. I don't know. Money's money. But, what the fuck am I talking about? So, yeah. We went to that gig, and I actually thought, do you know when you get a little, well, you do when you're 31, you get a little bit scared ahead of time. You're like, I on Monday, I was like, and I had my own gig on Wednesday, and I was like, I'm going to be fucking shit-faced on Friday. I was like, I know I'm going to be fucking bollocksed, but got away with it, you know, actually got away with it. Drank, of course, jumped in that mosh pit, leapt about like a dickhead. And that was it, really. Just fucking was grand the next day. Went to St. George's Market, you know, walked around, seen some shit. Had a fucking crepe? Had an old crepe, didn't I? Savory crepes. I don't know why every cunt gets them with like Nutella, but savory crepes are the shit, like. Get a bit of cheese in there, ham and an egg, that's what I got. Problem is, if I eat something outside of my own house, I'm like, there's something missing. And it, by something, I mean, no one's put salt and pepper in this. Nobody's put, like, fucking chili flakes and sriracha and whatever other bullshit I'd have put on it. So you eat a lot of things and you're like, Like, it's nice for, like, two bites. And then you're like, where's the other stuff, you know? I mean, Maureen will slag me off. She'll be like, you're the only person will, like, season a cup of soup. You know, put more shit in a... I mean, someone who's quite into food like me shouldn't probably be eating cup of soups, but sometimes you just feel like a dirty hoe, you know? The cup of soup's nice. You know what I'm saying? You can't just have a sandwich by itself, for fuck's sake. Anyway, went to St. George's Market, seen all the bullshit in there. There's a woman doing a tour guide, which... fuck me, like, a tour guide must, it's probably not that different to being a stand-up. They're probably not going for the laugh all the time, but you obviously have a set, and you remember that, and then someday you throw in, like, a wee line, and you go, fuck, they went for that line. So you keep it, and I just walked past, and she was like, at this fish stall, you know, the guys know exactly where their fish come from. The sea? Was it? They know exactly where the fish comes from. They know their suppliers, the fishermen. They know the surnames of each fish. You know? And I was like, oh, she threw in a wee line there. But I bet you every fucking time she's outside that stall and your man's rolling his eyes behind the stall and she's like, they know the fucking surnames of the fish. They know the fish's grannies. Just banging in jokes, bro. And then there was an old man who I fucking hope is still alive because he was just bent double. Now, St. George's Market? 49 degrees. You know, I've been to a few markets around the world. Been to one in Thailand that was hotter than all fuck. Did I get massively ill after being there? Of course. But like, fucking... it's just hot, but there's no roof on it. You know what I mean? It's just individual things. St. George's Market has a roof on it. So all these cunts are making coffee and crepes and fucking God knows what. Heat's not going anywhere. You know, walking along, this old boy doubled over, like legit on a seat, doubled over. And I was like, is he dying? And then basically there was a woman like putting her hand up the back of his jumper, rubbing his back. She goes, he's okay. And I was like, hopefully, I presume she's with him. You know, because, or she knows him and knows that, oh, he does this the other time. He has like bad stomach cramps or something and he barfs. He did barf. And she's rubbing his back. He's okay. I was like, I hope you're not a stranger watching a man have a heart attack and just rubbing his back. You know, he's grand. He's grand. And the guy's like, oh. But, yeah, fucking, he was sick, and then there were fucking people running that. And I was like, what do you do? I honestly think the best thing to do right now, because the people who worked there were sorting out a fucking ambulance. He was with a woman that he knew, probably his daughter, like a younger woman. And you're like, what do? I think you become a problem if you just fucking stand there and watch, see if everything's okay. So unfortunately, I was just like, right, let's clear out. Let's clear out and let these ones do their fucking thing here. But, strange. And then decided to don't get an iced coffee at a market, because it's not going to be like an iced coffee you get in like a Starbucks. They're going to go, iced, you say? Here's one I made earlier that's now cold. Is there ice in it? No. It's cold coffee, though. Which isn't nice. We want our coffee hot, or we want it freezing cold. Anywhere in between is disgusting. No one's like, can I get a cold coffee? No, give me an iced fucking coffee. Okay. Okay. And then fucking, oh my God, see, on Sunday, obviously our man in Vietnam, that was another thing. Our man in Vietnam, Sean, is over. With his girlfriend Lindsay, and he was at the gig on Wednesday night, and everyone was like, oh, that's your mate Sean. There's Begley. There's Maureen. Getting photos of fucking Maureen and Begley and all that shit. Like, Jesus Christ, lads. Hope you don't start making money off this. I'll be having to take a fucking percentage. Huh? You're welcome. But that's pretty cool, though. People are like, oh, is that Sean from Vietnam? Pretty badass. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So when we were in Vietnam with Sean, he lives in Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon, in Vietnam. And, neck crack there. And he would always take us for this one meal, which was called, let me see. Oh, all right, what's this shit? Okay, so he would always say Com Tam, which is like, that means broken rice. Let me see, images, that means, yeah, I think that means broken rice. I think it's actually called Come Soon, or S-U-U, come, but gonna come soon. Come soon. And basically, when you go into this fucking place, there's a guy outside with a sort of charcoal grill thing, and he's cooking pork chops on it. Not a nice clean pork chop like you'd see over here, a big old bony lump of a fucker. And he's just taking it out of this bucket full of like reddy brown shit, and he throw it on, send them inside to your woman. She puts some rice with it, like a wee mound of rice, broken rice, which is a bit different to normal rice. It's fucking delish though. And then she puts a fried egg on it. But those Vietnamese, they drop their egg into like a bath of fat. It's not like shallow fried in a pan. They just dump it right in there, so the whole thing's like fucking all bubbly and shit. So they put that on the rice. And then, what else is there? Rice, they put the egg on, they got the pork chop, they got a little cup of like sweetened fish sauce with chilies in it. What you basically do is you just dump that all over the fucking thing and chop all the egg up and make it all yolky and shit. And it looks and sounds like fuck all. You're like, there's an egg, there's rice, fish sauce with chili, and then this pork chop that's been lying in fucking lemongrass and fish sauce and, you know, chili and a bunch of other shit. And then once you fucking barbecue that, it is literally one of the fucking tastiest things you'll ever have in your life. And it doesn't make sense. Do you know what I mean? You would expect a bit of sort of something a bit more complicated for you to be like, Jesus Christ, this is literally a pork chop, eggs and rice, and it's fucking gorgeous. So anyway, I was like, you know what, Sean, see when you're home, let's try and make that. It's your favourite meal, it's my favourite meal, let's try and do it. He's like, no bother, be over Sunday night. So I was like, right, go to the butcher's, get these big fucking dirty ribs. And I got some pork chops, and then I came home and I was like, I'm going to make this shit. So banged all the fish sauce in a big Tupperware box. Put a bit of soy sauce in. Didn't really have to, but I did. And then a fuckload of sugar, which turns out wasn't nearly enough sugar as I wanted, even though it was about a third of a bag.
of fucking pure white sugar. Threw that in. Chilies, garlic, salt, pepper, all that shit. Spring onions. And then I poured that into like some Ziploc bags, put the meat in it, zipped it up, left it in there to go all fucking weird. And you notice when you take it out, it's almost like the fish sauce kind of like cures the meat. Like it goes like a red colour, even though there's no fucking red sauce anywhere. So anyway, he was coming over. I went down to girlfriend Maureen's parents' house to borrow the van, because they have a big sort of old barbecue, which I actually put on Instagram if you want to see it. Was a fucking nightmare to lift. Looks like nothing, and it looks like half a barrel. You're sort of like, oh, sure, it's only an light barrel. It's not. It's half of a fucking steel pipe that they would use for, like, underground sewers or something, which someone had... No, it was part of a chimney. That's what it was. It was a chimney from something. I remember hearing the story, and they've cut it in half, and it's thick and heavy as fuck. But it was down the back of their house where someone had dumped a load of fucking rubble, and then grass had grown through it, so the ground is uneven as fuck, and I had to lift it above my head. Like, I was pressing it and just walk across. Actually, I filmed myself because I was like, this is not smart, and I probably will drop this on my head and snap both my feet off. Got away with it, though. And then prepared all this food all day. Had the barbecue set up, had charcoals bought, all this shit. And then I just went to light a fire and went, oh yeah, I forgot. Fires take ages. So they arrived. Maureen came back from a baby shower and she was like, did you not light this earlier? And I went, nah, I just thought I could fucking fire it up. And then the charcoals would take about half an hour. She's like, no, you gotta... Fires take forever. And I was like, oh. So anyway, Sean had to go to the shop and buy some snacks because they were fucking starving. So they went and got some, you know, olives and bullshit. And we had that whilst the fire started cooking or started lighting up for quite some time. And then eventually we got it to the point where I had to rebuild a miniature barbecue within this barbecue to fucking get it closer to the heat. What I'm saying is, we barbecued these chops and it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense how this thing tastes and how it is prepared, because fish sauce smells like a dog's asshole but tastes really good. But when you look at it in the bucket, you're like, oh, it's just a load of fucking red, or it's not even, it's like brown fluid. In fact, someone sent me a message on Instagram. They're like, I have a bucket outside my house that I throw fags into, and that's what it looks like. And I went, cheers. But whatever happens in that process of being soaked with fucking fish sauce and lemongrass, and then you put it on, like, above fire, it was fucking unbelievable. It just, I don't even know how someone found that out, because the way it comes out is nothing like it went in. You're like, oh, it's the chops and whatever, and fish sauce. Doesn't look like much. Cook all those flavours on fire with like the sugar cooks and everything and burns. All the fat goes crispy. It almost goes like a red, it comes out like a red pork chop, and it was fucking incredible. But I was exhausted, you know? I was stinking of smoke. Been cooking all day. The whole house smelled like fish sauce, which was like, it smelled like a kennels, you know what I mean? Like vaguely like shit. And I was just fucking wrecked. I was like, I hope you enjoy that. Seemingly everyone did. Seemingly everyone liked it, but it was fucking gorgeous. But Jesus Christ. I actually put it on Instagram. I was like, this is like all good Vietnamese food, which is like, if you make it at home, it'll cost you like £100. And you have to get 75 ingredients for something that you wouldn't even pay a pound for on the street in Vietnam. Like, they talk about that all the time. Any of those cooking shows you go see, or that you watch, they're like, the amount of culinary fucking wizardry in like a bowl of that pho shit that they eat. You know, you're like, oh, that just looks like a clear fluid that tastes like kind of beefy with some noodles. And you're like, you've no idea the work that it takes to get that fucking nice brown broth. It's like a fucking 2-day process. Just so that you can throw some fucking noodles in it and sip it and go, what about the depth of flavour? You know? Outrageous. Like, if you had a shop like that in Belfast and people were like, oh my god, do you want to go for a pork chop and rice? You'd have to charge them £25 each. And it would be worth it. Let me tell you. So anyway, busy few days. Took Maureen down to Seafield, which is like our secret little getaway. Fucking spa. Which is in Where is it? Wicklow or something? No, Wexford. And we stopped at Greystones and went to the Happy Pear, which is just like, that's just what we do now. Go to the Happy Pear and just glance around at some of the knob heads that are in there. You know? Just the vegan nightmares that are fucking sitting about in there. I get it. Like, this place is huge on social media. These two twins have fucking books out. You know what I mean? They're in great shape. They run this super positive business where everyone's like, oh, dude, oh my God. You're talking, you're getting to a point where you're like, it's obviously better to be positive. And it's a miracle that you can grow your own stuff. You know, it's great. But at a certain point, you're going, oh my God, look at this beautiful fucking, that is a beautiful bit of fresh turmeric. Turmeric, or whatever the fuck it's called. And then they just eat a bit, and you're like, ugh. I mean, do you ever take one of those health shots, and they're like, oh, this is carrot, turmeric, turmeric. Is it turmeric? I think it's turmeric, is it? And you just fucking take a sip and you're like, what the fuck? Even though it literally stops you having cancer, apparently. But they just get very excited. And then people love that shit, you know? Do you want some whole grain quinoa?
I love it. I absolutely fucking love that.
And they slap it on a plate and it's like the most tasteless fucking, you know, it's like, you know what it's like? Pouring water on a Weetabix. Do that. Pour water on a Weetabix and then eat that shit and tell me that it's fucking tasty. But anyway, I was absolutely starving before on the way down, so I sort of got a sandwich made in some place, which was delicious, and then Maureen held off and she had a big fucking plate of shit. But I just basically got a wrap. I had a sandwich on the way to get a wrap, which was a falafel wrap, which was fine. Do you know what I mean? It was fine. But don't act like, you know, throwing a bit of fucking chicken in there wouldn't improve it, is all I'm saying. There was a dude beside us. I mean, here's what you get, right? This is exactly the type of person who goes in there. They're wearing, this is the juxtaposition of shit they're wearing, right? Because they stay fit, you know what I mean? They want to tell people, let people know that they stay fit. So, they're wearing like running shoes, like real fucking high-end running shoes. You know, like a nice pair of Asics, or whatever. All multicolored, probably cost about 160 quid. They're wearing like Nike leggings. But then they'll be wearing like a jumper that looks like it was like hand knitted. Is that a thing? Do you ever see those things? They're like, oh, this is hand knitted. And it's like giant big knots. Hand knitting. Yeah. It's like really heavy fucking like loops of, it was, you know, they basically like knit it with their hands. Oh my God, there's a woman doing it there. And it's like really thick. She's wearing like a hand knitted jumper that's made out of fucking horsehair or something. So it's just, it's like, I like to stay fit and I'm fine with, you know, I'm fucking fine with a Taiwanese child stitching together these fucking Asics. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Where else am I supposed to get shoes? But when it comes to wearing ethical, you know, single source horsehair sweaters, I must let the world know that I'm a fucking wank stain. How do I do that? How do I go into other spaces filled with a bunch of fucking hummus slingers and I eat what is called on the menu a pulled pork sandwich, which is actually made from sourdough bread and a load of fucking mushrooms that have been cooked long enough that they fall apart. The dude she was with had a fucking, this was his lunch, two bits of sourdough bread. You think they would do it, like they would put a little pot of hummus. Someone just took a fucking giant thing of hummus and just went, a gloop. and he's just dipping hummus in the bread. And you're like, what sort of vegan queefs are you doing on each other when you're rubbing your massively hairy fucking genitals together? I mean, the girl was pretty fit, like, you know what I mean? Sweet arse on her. But you know rightly, she just has beaded braids coming out of her ass crack.
Yes!
I can't stand it. Oh my god. It's decent food, you know what I mean? But you limit yourself. That drives me nuts. Oh, it's pulled pork. Also, if you're a fucking vegan / vegetarian place, you can't, why still say pork? You know what I mean? Hashtag triggered. You're in a fucking vegan place and you're like, pulled pork sandwich, what's that? It's mushrooms. Just say slow cooked barbecue flavoured mushrooms or whatever. Just because I've told this story before. My dad, whenever my mom was in hospital for something one time, had to cook dinner, God forbid. And he threw a load of pork fucking fillet or shoulder or something in the stew and just didn't know when it was done. A typical man. I don't know if that's done yet. Jenga, it's done. And he just cooked it for about 6 hours till it was essentially like fucking soup. And then fucking, it was just like thick soup with shreds of pork in it. My dad pretty much invented pulled pork. But we just called it stringy stew. That's what we called it back in the day. Also, pulled pork has got out of hand. Pulled pork is when you barbecue a pork shoulder and then it comes out and it's so soft and tender after like 8 hours that you get like 2 forks and you just shred it up and it's soft as fuck, but it's quite dry. Not dry, but you know what I mean? Not saucy. And what people do is they get like pork shoulder or something and they fuck it in a pot and they cook it for ages with a bunch of other shit and then it comes up like a stew and then they shred it. So basically whenever you go for pulled pork, they're like, do you want a pulled pork sandwich? And you go, yeah, I'd love that. What they actually give you is a bap with fucking stew in the middle, essentially. And you're going, you bite it and it all shits out the side. You're like, that's not pulled pork, that's pork stew that you have now. You've made like a chili pork. Or like a pork chili, and now it's in a bap, which doesn't even make sense. It's like all you fucking weirdos in Subway getting a meatball marinara. And I did a fucking ad for Subway, eating a meatball marinara. And even in the fucking shoot, I was like, this tastes like fucking cat food and cock at the same time.
I hate!
Cheers for the money. Do you know what I'm saying? You're welcome to your hundreds and thousands of hits that you got overnight. But, I got a burger in Glasgow one time, in Nice and Sleazy or whatever. It was like a burger, haggis, pulled pork, the way pulled pork should be, which is dry shreds of barbecued pork that fucking tastes nice by itself. You should be able to take that pork, dip it in sauce, instead of going, here's sauce with some meat in it. Gross. Anyway, absolutely went off on one about pork there. Don't get me fucking started on pork, you sweet dicks! Oh, I have a sore neck, and every time I turn it over there, if I look right, it goes, and then I'll just keep doing it all day because it feels stiff. To the point where now I'm like, when I rub the top of my fucking neck there, it's just aching. So, who knows what that is? Probably stress, lack of sleep. I did not. That's my focus in the next while. Stress management. Do you know what I mean? And do you know what it is? I don't like being stressed. I don't think I'm a person who freaks out about stuff, but physically I feel it. So if I'm stressed out, I'll just be like, oh my god, my neck and back are fucking stiff as shit. And then if I'm tired and stressed, fuck that. If I'm tired and stressed, it's like having an illness, like the flu or something. I'm just like, I can't do anything. It's weird as fuck. It's super weird. Like, the night we were in that spa place, fucking sleeping, or not sleeping, I just could not fucking sleep. If I'm, like, stressed out and tired, you know, and fucking anxious and weird, even if I try and relax, my mind won't let me, So if I'm like, oh, I'm fucking exhausted, had a busy week, done lots of things, ah, oh, look at this big bed, want to go to sleep, I will fucking fall asleep. If I do fall asleep for about 30 seconds, I'll go like, oh, I'm so tired, fall asleep, and then I go, and then my brain's like, don't get too comfortable there, and then I go, okay, okay, just making sure everything's okay, everything's okay. Oh fuck, I'm awake again. And I would just do that on a loop all fucking night, is nearly fall asleep, and then my body fucking gets me awake again, like, just so on edge all the time, bro. What is that? Any psychologists out there? Is it if you're busy and then you're doing things like stand-up that are inherently stressful? You know, is that weird? See that quote where it's like, do something every day that scares you? Don't. Okay? Do something every day that makes you very happy and content. You don't need to be scared. Okay? I'm reading a book at the minute. Actually reading a book, you know? Instead of getting my information from like a fucking Joe Rogan podcast where he's talking to some scientist. It's not far. It's the apple didn't fall far from the tree there. It's Aubrey Marcus's book. What's the fucking title of it? Own the Day? Is that what it's called? His book is called... What a sexy cunt. You're that fucking guy. That's Mr. fucking steal your fucking every female in your family and get them pregnant and then just be like, sorry. Aubrey Marcus. Get a go with that guy with his shirt off. He even has that face, like, you know that, like, I fucked everybody face. Own the day. But it was really, there's a bit about like waking up. And it's talking about like how to start your day and everything. And I'm nearly sure that it actually makes a lot of sense. Whatever research he's been doing or people he's been talking to, but like, it's basically like when your body gets stressed out through mental things, you know, like work stress or money stress or something like that, your body doesn't really know how to turn that off. You know, because it's not a real thing. So if you're like, fuck, I'm skint till I get paid, and you're worried and you're worried and you're worried, then you get paid, you're still kind of worried. Because all that happened was your fucking, some numbers on your bank account changed. So, because nothing physical made it go away. So the bit in that book was basically like, you need to sort of create good stress for your body. Which the more you do that, the more it sort of combats like, this other sort of mind stress by doing things like difficult workouts. That's a good stress, you know? Go to a jiu-jitsu class, have someone strangle you, but you can tap out of it. That's a good stress. In fact, I don't know if I've found anything better when it comes to like almost like meditation, because you really can't think about much else when someone's knees on your fucking neck. You know what I'm saying? So there's shit like that. Cold showers, you know what I mean? Shock your body. That gets all your natural adrenaline and all your shit pumping, gets you on edge. But then once you step out and you get warm again, the stress is over. Same as exercise or whatever. Put your body in stress and then it goes away. Do you know what I mean? And whoever he was quoting was like, you know, the more you fucking, the more good stress you put your body under, the more it knows how to deal with stress. You know, so rather than you come home from work, feel like shit, stressed out, realize you're skint, you're stressed out about that, and then you fucking sit on a sofa all night. Do you know what I mean? Eating shit. And I do all these things, but I'm learning, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna feel like fucking shit the whole time. Put your body under good stress. You know what I'm saying? That's the way to do it. It makes sense to me. Like, anytime I remember talking about anxiety or something before in this podcast, and a load of people were like reaching out, oh, you should try this, you should try this. But the thing that I'd sort of learned myself was just like, just completely change your scenario. Do you know what I mean? It was in a less eloquent way, but it was like, you know, if you feel like stressed, find a fucking hill and do hill sprints and see how much thought you give to, you know, your boss being a dick at work. You know what I mean? Just shock your system. Just be absolutely punctured. Just be like,
And then you sort of slowly calm down. You're like, all right, that's maybe not as bad as I thought it was. You know, jump in the fucking sea. Just have that shoot through your fucking soul. You're like, in fact, walk in the fucking sea. You know what I mean? Just walk into the sea up to your waist and let your bollocks go inside your body and just be like, just shake up your scenario, guys. What the fuck am I talking about? Apparently the DUP were trying to start a fucking, or get a bunch of people down to protest people flying rainbow flags for pride. How are you still a fucking political party? You fucking retards. I mean, how could you even be proud to be in that thing? Because you're going like, oh, I got a job with the DUP. Really? That means that you have the respect of pretty much a bunch of cocks. You know? Oh, the DUP. And you know exactly the type.
The DUP. Taking care of the fucking Muslims and the gays.
Flying a rainbow flag. Fly a flag if you want. I mean, I've talked about this many times on the podcast. What's wrong with having a pride in the park? Why are you in the streets, bro? I'm going to drink a tin of Coke. Look at that. Full fat Coke. I see every fucking podcast I do, I have a tin of something. I don't know why. There's something about the podcast. Mickey will come down. There's tins of something. I'm not a big Coke guy. Diet Cokes, maybe. But then I find out that they just kill your whole insides. But yeah, fuck the DUP. I don't know. Why would you not want to be on the side of everybody? You know, why would you not want to be like people pleasers if you were a fucking politician or a political party? Why would you want to be trying to survive with the remaining fucking dickheads that exist instead of winning over the hearts of everybody? You know, moving forward, actually improving instead of trying to just keep this little fucking pen full of mental bastards. You know, you drive up some fucking, you see all those old fucking Paisley videos and they're down some country lane. Mr. Smith, how are you? And this woman comes out, how are you?
What do you think about these queers?
I don't think they should be allowed to be alive.
Good woman yourself. That's what I like to hear from someone who knows nothing. Lives in the country, doesn't do anything, doesn't see anything. You're watching on TV. Oh God, I don't know if I like them gays out there with a flag.
Meanwhile, my whole fucking town is painted red, white and blue and the curbs are... You drive through a nice little quaint village and you're like, why are the curbs red, white and blue here? You know, on the way to Silent Valley, we've seen that. Look at these beautiful views. Oh wait, someone's painted the road red, white and blue just to let you know that even though you're up a fucking mountain, this is Great Britain, not Ireland. No one cares. No one cares, no one sees you, okay? It's just fucking, there's nothing more annoying than saying like, oh, I don't think, now I've done it in this podcast a few times. For the most part, I'm joking. Do you know? Like if I'm sitting here going, oh, I think all celebrations, demonstrations should be held in one place instead of in a shared space. Now, the point of a shared space is probably for things like that, but it's like, do it in a park. Pride in the park would be the best shit of all time, you know what I mean? Couple of ice cream vans and shit. Fuck. Mad. But the DUP, it's like, you know, go to work first. Do your actual job, and then we'll talk about fucking protests and shit like that. Commence the purge, guys. There's no one in that fucking building right now doing any work. It's one of those things. It's like, how can I follow laws when there's no one making them or changing them anywhere? When that's your one fucking job? Do what I want. That's a good message for you guys. Do whatever the fuck you want, because they're not doing anything. And they're the ones supposed to be, you know, maintaining certain laws and sorting them out and changing them. And there's no one at work and they're still getting paid. Do whatever you want, guys. As long as you're not hurting anybody. That's the main thing, isn't it? Let's carry on. Which by that, you know, when we talk about the gay cakes and everything, it's like, do whatever you want. You know, I'm sure Asher's, that's them doing whatever they want. I don't want to make a cake with a gay message. They should have went, that's fine. It's not, it's, is it intolerance? Is it like, I don't know. It just kicks off a whole fucking argument, doesn't it? I'd rather not do that. That's fine. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm sure if, I don't know, I'm sure you could find a million examples of that. If you went in, you're like, can you write, fuck Dave, he's a spastic. They'd be like, I'd rather not do that. You are fucking discriminating against stand-up comedians who are well used to saying outrageous shit all day. What about Full Fat Coke? Give me a boner. I don't know what shit I'm talking right now. Let me see if there's questions. Put my phone on the ground. Got a new Patreon. Shout out to Gary Patterson. Right, let me get into these questions before the fucking thing starts beeping. I wonder, do we have any Snapchat questions? Is it funny? Like, I used to have thousands and thousands and thousands of people on my fucking Snapchat. And, it basically halved. And now I'm like, well, there isn't that many thousands. Even though it's still a lot of thousands that I should be fucking doing stuff for. Alright, let me get through some Snapchat's questions. By the way, if you're in the Fringe this year, go see Mickey Bartlett. I don't know anyone else doing it, to be honest. And I don't know if there's anything else worth fucking seeing. Go see an actual comedian. Mickey is a rarity at the Fringe, you know, which is a straight white dude who is fairly woke, you know what I'm saying? As they say. And is trying to legit be funny, writing jokes, works hard on his craft to deliver you an hour of very funny stand-up. Actual entertainment, because what the Fringe has become now is a lot of fucking dildos go up who are fucking all self-righteous and whatever, and their emphasis is in making a point and having a themed show. They always joke, like, if you had a family member fucking die in the last year, you're in for a chance at winning that fucking Fringe prize. You know, like, well, my life's particularly hard, so here's my life story about how I beat, you know, fucking Crohn's disease. And it's like a themed show. And then you can say something serious about the NHS in there, and people will be like, man, that was a really good show. And you're like, it's a comedy festival, bro. Where's the fucking jokes, dickhead? It's annoying. I mean, if Mickey had... It's just like, he's too white and too male and too straight and too funny. If he was gay, straight away, would get more attention. If he was a girl, and he was from... If he was fucking non-binary, straight away, more attention. If he talked about some serious issues, or someone who died, or an event in his life that was fucking important, more attention. If I was doing a poster at the Fringe now, I would just write, actual humour by a comedian. That's all you need to know. Meanwhile, next door, there's a mime artist who, like, oh, it's very interesting whenever... what accent is it? You have to go sort of... find it very interesting when that mime artist defecated onto a moving desk fan, splattering shite everywhere, and it was a representation of basically today's politics. 5 stars, amazing stuff. You know? It's like wacky and also like that fucking, that Late in Live or Smack or what the fuck is it called? What's it called? Spank. You know, they'll just be like, oh, if you want to promo your show in front of an audience, come up on stage and take all your clothes off and do a naked promo. And you're like, what's the point in that? And of course, all you see is dude after dude after dude with their weird ball bags out. The Fringe is a mess, bro. It's a fucking mess. Go see Mickey. Or go fuck yourself. podcast question. Any future trips planned? Follow-up vlogs to the Vietnam vlogs. Yeah, I mean, travel vlogs are a lot of fun. And those Vietnam ones are about some of the few videos where I'm actually, like, fucking proud of them. And would watch them again the odd time. But yeah, got some stuff planned for this year. Yeah, it's just, people just don't go on that many exciting holidays, you know. Especially as exciting as Vietnam. Is the drone you bought worth the money? Yeah, it's definitely very, very good. It's pretty expensive. The Mavic Pro is about £1,100. It's very good if you're looking at a drone and can afford to buy it. If you're going to use it a lot, my problem is, like, you'll go somewhere and they'll go, fuck, I should have brought the drone. Which is so stupid, like. But yeah, I'm going to try and get into using it a lot more. I'm trying to do a bunch of shit that are just a bit more, like, if I'm doing any videos, I want to do something that's a bit more fucking arty, you know what I mean? Rather than just some comedy videos or some weird shit. Do you know what I mean? I want to do some exciting shit. I keep filming stuff for vlogs, and then I'm like, I'm just filming this to make a vlog, you know, rather than make like a mini documentary or a behind the scenes about something. Everything. And even vlogging's weird. See, when people get into fucking daily vlogs and shit like that, it's like, I feel like you're getting into it for the wrong reason. You're getting into it because you want to be a fucking quote-unquote YouTuber, and you want people to see that you're making videos and stuff, where it should be like, you should try and make your life interesting before you decide to be a filmmaker, or you decide to make videos about it, because people are just getting into the fucking, you know, the daily vlog thing, and your life is bullshit. But people are just, people like watching other people, so they'll end up watching you doing some boring shit. How many fucking vlogs have you seen where it's like, oh, here's a fucking, you know, here's a time lapse of your fucking bullshit town. Those things only work if you live in fucking Dubai or New York or something, and it actually looks cool. You don't leave your camera at the side of the road in fucking Ballymena and be like, check this out as the sun fucking goes over. And B-roll. I'm going to shoot a ton of B-roll. Fuck B-roll, bro. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm going to call my vlog. Fuck B-roll. Just show me the interesting things and then hard cut to something else. Here's me at a thing. Here's me at another thing. Not like, oh, good morning, guys. I'm going to tell you what I'm at today. Today I have to go to fucking Tesco's and buy a goddamn, you know, cheese grater. But first, oh, they'll do something like this. They're trying to, you know, add drama to something that's total bollocks. Like, I'm going to Tesco's today to buy a cheese grater. I'll tell you why later, but first, as if they're like teasing you as to why you need a fucking cheese grater. And they're like, but first, coffee. And then it's like, coffee down. Clink. Milk. Sip. See you later. Like that bit in fucking in Snatch when he's like, I'm coming to New York. Clunk. That sort of shit. You're making coffee exciting. No one needed to see that. You don't need to do it in every fucking vlog. I'm here at Tesco's. Funny thing about cheese graters is blah blah blah. Here's why I need the cheese grater. Someone's coming over for dinner, but I'll tell you who that is later. And then they go do something else, and you're like, this is wank. These daily vlogs are shit. Why don't you fucking sit down one day and be like, I'm going to go and do something interesting, and then I'll fucking just film it all, and they'll come together afterwards and be like, how do I put this together as a fucking movie? And try and make it exciting. That's the way I do it. Just film it, then see if it comes together. And I filmed loads of shit where it doesn't come together. Like, I've sort of behind the scenes footage of me and Mickey getting tattoos. By the way, tweet me if you want to see any of this shit. You know, I could put that up, but it wasn't that exciting, and that should be exciting. Do you know what I mean? It was quite funny, but I'm just like, it's just dudes sitting in chairs talking shit, getting tattoos done. But it's probably more exciting than someone who's like, okay, today's events, I have to do my washing. I don't know. Filmed at Silent Valley. It was so fucking windy. It's just me looking at the camera going, anyway, I want to do some cool shit. Vlog-wise. Vlog's a bad word. I want to make some short films. I like the behind-the-scenes type vibe, you know what I mean?
I'm going to do one today for last week. We'll see how that goes, but Jesus Christ, fuck B-roll. Okay? Well, I want to film some fucking shots so they can cut between scenes. Nah. Cut to it, you fucking dicks, no one cares. Show me some interesting shit. You for the moi this weekend, sir? We don't live too far from the moi, if I'm being fully honest with you. If you want to go line dancing with someone's divorcee, auntie. Do you ever change your stand-up at all when you do gigs in London or wherever? And that's from Curtis. Do I fuck, bro? Get on board, figure out what I'm saying. Or go fuck yourself. No, I don't change any of that shit. Because none of it's really specific to Northern Ireland. Or maybe, you know, maybe over here you'll throw in the odd place name. Just for a laugh. But if you're in England, you just don't do that. Now, Aaron Dolan, who I know, has sent me a link. Donkey sex, the most bizarre tradition. I've seen that documentary on Vice. Some place, is it like Colombia or some weird place where rather than, because it's like an extremely religious place and you're not allowed to just fuck people willy-nilly, it's actually fairly socially acceptable to just ride donkeys. And I don't mean to the shops, I mean in the asshole. Because donkeys just sit there all sad like, while this wee guy's like,
arriba!
And it's butt. But of course, back in the Vice days when it was like hipster as fuck, they were like, hey, what's up, dude? My name's fucking Chad and I'm here in Colombia. You know, like all fucking sarcastic, like to apparently watch some fucking donkey fuck or something. I don't know, man. I don't know how I get employed. And then he walks around the corner and I remember his face is like, oh, okay, okay. Because he wasn't really taking it seriously the whole time. He's like, okay, Vice sent me to Colombia to talk about like dudes that fuck donkeys instead of having underage unmarried sex. And turns out they're actually fucking donkeys, man. That's actually really fucking disturbing. Yeah, what expect, you fucking knobhead? But how sad. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, what's worse? Fuck the donkey in the ass? Or fuck it? Yeah, just don't fuck anything. Doesn't want to be fucked. More Omo Bell. You look hot. She just sends me a thing that says you look hot on my story. Cheers, Maureen. And do something about it. No, I mean, go on me. Explore Belfast. What's your favourite donut in Belfast? I mean, that seems to be the thing now. Just fucking donut shops popping up all over the motherfucking place. I keep seeing them, and I see them on Instagram, and I follow a load of them, but I just fucking, I've never actually been in a place and got a donut. How weird is that? People, it's a thing for people now, let's get a donut, and you go and you get like a fucking yum-yum with a piece of bacon shoved in it, you're like, delicious. I don't know. Maybe if there's a donut company out there who wants to sponsor the podcast and send me free donuts and money, I'll be like, these guys do the best donuts. I'll eat any fucking donut, to be honest with you. You know, I had a mate, shout out to Lecky, who we were in a spa or something, and he bought like donuts that were like out of date that day, and he bought them and they were a bit hard, and he had like five of them. And this is back in the day. This guy is fucking Jackass and Dirty Sanchez rolled into a person before you ever knew what those programs were. And he bought those, and he ate all five of them, and then he bought the, like a fucking, you know, like strawberry laces. It's like a little thin jelly thing. And he tied a bunch of them together, and he's like, I'm going to eat these, you know, and then see if I can pull the whole string out. And I went, go ahead, sure, that's perfectly normal for this guy. And he fucking ate them all down and left himself about 6 inches to fucking pull the string back out. As he pulled it, he forgot that he'd been tying knots in this thing. So as one of the knots passed his throat, It made him vomit, and he just barfed up 5 chunky donuts that he barely chewed. Would you consider doing a UK tour? Yeah, if I could be arsed organising it. Fuck me. For the podcast, yourself and Bartlett should go live on Instagram and do Q&As whilst recording a podcast. Or just not go on a podcast. You can do that anytime. UK tour. Where are you? Oh, no, that was the last question. Are you uploading your version of the Interface Diaries from the Limelight gig? Was very funny. I will be doing that. Because we played it again. It wasn't captured correctly at the Limelight gig, but it was captured correctly at the motherfucking Mandela Hall gig. Problem is, I just got a beep from the guy there. Ding! Because the guy that recorded it, I gave him a hard drive and I was like, what's up, bro? Put the footage on the hard drive. And then I said, I'm going to Lavery's tonight. Can I get that off you? And he goes, I'm in Italy. So I'm like, okay. So he's going to text when he's back in the country. So as soon as he gets back and then I'm able to get those clips, I can somehow figure out a format to put that up. So I'll put that up, yeah. But I just, out of context, it doesn't make sense. But I'll do it this time. Cheers, Paddy Mac. Son of a bitch. Do we have... Oh my god, there's so many unread. Some of the shit that I miss in your fucking DMs. Let me see. Hold on a second. 2 hours ago, right, these are all pretty new. Here we go, loads of them. Have 2 questions, 1 silly, 1 not. What do you think of Eddie Murphy's? Hold on a second.
Oh, creepy. Creepy as fuck.
So I was recording there and the old door just swung open. I shit my pants. Didn't shut it properly, obviously. What do you think of Eddie Murphy's stand-up? Heard you talk about a lot about Carl and Pryor, but haven't heard you mention his stuff. Well, in my opinion, if you've seen Richard Pryor, you've already kind of seen Eddie Murphy, so not that... Not that into it, to be honest. What about that Egypt biting the head off a pigeon in Derry? Didn't see it. Link me. Or it didn't happen. Where did you get them Vans? Get me a pair. I got them in the Foot Factory in Belfast where our boy Kyle had sort of held them over for me. And I was like, unbelievable. Now that the live podcast is over, do you feel the same way about stand-up? James Shields. I don't know, because that gig had... a very pleasant stand-up experience and a good podcast, so it's hard to know. Maybe I think when I said all that shit, I had just done a few shit gigs in a row and I was like, I don't like this shit. I don't like this. What do you think about Coal Island? I don't know. I've only stopped in it for petrol and that's it. But I imagine it's a shithole like the rest of them. Cameron, if you could have a comedian at Lavery's, who would it be? If I could have any comedian at Lavery's, who would it be? Just any of the ones that I'm a big fan of. Do you know what I mean? The Bill Burrs, the fucking Chris D'Elia's, the Tom Segura's. Any of those ones? It would be great. Or is it one of those dead or alive ones? Peter Nish, remember Angel Delight? Yeah, but like not with any sort of feelings attached to it whatsoever. I've tasted it and went, eh. It's alright, like, isn't it? Insane chemistry. Fell a year behind on your podcast because I started a new job much closer to home, so I've been on a surge. I've caught up about 5 months worth in 3 weeks. You reckon this is dedication or a sign of mental illness? P.S. Got a new Bluetooth speaker and started an episode half asleep when I woke up this morning. The first thing you did was a huge yawn, then came from a... The first thing you did was a huge yawn, then come from the other side of my room. And I absolutely shat myself. All right, okay. I don't know if I read that correctly. Yeah, sometimes... I mean, the scariest thing is if I'm rendering out a podcast, which I actually process it in Final Cut, so I'll just trim all the audio, give it a bit of a bass boost, and then pump it out. But once it finishes exporting, it'll play straight away on iTunes. So I'll just be sitting there in quiet, in silence in the office, pissing about, and then the computer will just go, "What the fuck is happening, people?" And I'll be like, "Ah!" Shit myself. Same way I shot myself when the door just swung open there. What the fuck was that? What's your favourite UFC fight and or boxing fight of all time? It's hard to fucking pick a single fight that was class. I thought that... I mean, just because we were up watching it and it was a bit of an emotional roller coaster when McGregor fought Chad Mendes was a fucking pretty exciting fight. Not the best fight ever, but like, just because I was up watching it live, you know, you're invested in it. Best fight. I don't know much about boxing to be able to even quote you my best fight of all time, but in UFC type shit, fuck. I don't know. I remember my favorite fight for a long time was whenever Randy Couture retired. And then he seen that Tim Sylvia had the fucking heavyweight belt and he came back and beat the fuck out of him. And then did he retire again? Or it might have been straight after. They were like, okay, well, the next contender is Gabriel Gonzaga, who's a fucking savage. And he head kicked Crow Cop and he beat the fuck out of a load of people. And they let him fight Gonzaga. And everyone was like, here's this fucking like 50-year-old man about to fight this Brazilian fucking tank here. And he beat the shit out of him, like, fucking scooped him up, some takedown, as they both hit the ground, his fucking head hit your man's face, broke his nose. And it was just this owl boy with a load of fucking experience beating the bollocks out of, like, this young fucking lion. It was class. I love that fight. And I'm pretty sure Joe Rogan went, "I have no words. Please say something." And he just went, "Not bad for an old man." Imagine going in and be like, "I'm gonna fuck this 50-year-old owl boy up," and then the next minute you're choking on your own blood and he fucking beats the fuck out of you. I love that shit. Did you see any of the clips from the Bruce Willis's roast? 9 out of 10 of it was not funny. The phrase "but seriously" was used a lot. But seriously, yeah. "Was such a night at the live podcast. I was sitting just to the left of the ball bags in the front row. I thought people yelling up to me for shit songs while I'm playing is a shit night. But I've got a new appreciation for the likes of Mickey and yourself, if that's what you have to listen to in the crowd." That's not always what I have to listen to in the crowd, but in that occasion, it was not cool, bro. "Where's Barry the Blender Henderson gone? Is he retired?" Well, no, not really, but Daily Blends were kind of the fucking the main output for the Blender character. And now it's like, I don't know, not much is going on right now. My focus is on other things. "Any news on trying to get Dan Watson on the podcast?" No. It's been a busy week. "Hi, love your podcast. Just jumped on the Patreon bandwagon too. My podcast question is if there's any update on a General Banter snapback." Everyone's looking updates. I must say a lot of shit and then not do anything about it. No, we're seriously going to hit the merch pretty hard. It's literally, the problem is finding a hat that's nice. Do you know what I mean? And also the problem is they're dear as fuck unless you're getting thousands and thousands of them made. So if you're getting a small batch of hats made, it's not going to be cheap, unfortunately. "What's the name of the Will You Fuck Up video? Been looking for it for ages on YouTube and can't find it. Where's the Smell Your Dick party with Mickey? It hasn't been made yet." If you type in Belfast Bouncer T13 or something, you'll find it. It's 13 seconds long. It's just him going, "Fuck up, you! You fuck up!" "Are you doing any more shows in London?" "Yep, I'm going to book one for the autumn." Oh my god. Is this the final question, for real? Who are you backing for the CrossFit Games? Matt for the men, obviously. Chicks. Now, this is hilarious because for some reason, I have been watching a fuckload of CrossFit stuff. It's just like, you know when you're like half into a thing? You know what I mean? It's been a while since I was like working out properly. And then, you know, started working out with my personal trainer there, Jordan, who I haven't been to this month at all. But I just, do you know sometimes you just need a month to fucking figure out what your next step is? Kind of hit a bit of a, I've been doing workouts here. You kind of hit a bit of a wall and you're like, what the fuck am I doing here? I need to change this up a bit. But I was doing, you know, a fair amount of CrossFit-esque workouts. And then you just find yourself watching, you watch those movies and they're so well put together. Such good documentaries. And then, you know, you fucking subscribe to it on YouTube and you're just watching all the videos that come out. And then after a while, you're like, I'm a fan of CrossFit. You know, I know all the people who are being referenced and whatnot. But if you're not into it, there's one dude called Matt Fraser and he's a fucking cyborg. He just fucking like is good at everything. And you know, you look at him and you go, he's in great shape, for sure. You know, the guy looks like he lifts weights a bit and whatever. But you would never go, that is the most, he is the fittest man on earth when it comes to fitness. Did I really just say that? He's the fittest man on earth when it comes to fitness? Oh, Colin, you fucking dildo. But yeah, the guy's a fucking savage. And the girls, I would... What do you call her? Tia Claire Toomey? I don't know who the fuck's going to win the girls one. I would say that other girl, fucking Katrin, whatever, David's daughter or something. I think she was probably pissed off enough from last year that she'll just go fucking get that Icelandic fucking warrior vibe going and just fucking trash everybody. But it's freaky. It's freaky as shit to watch some of these, the shit that some of them can do. I mean, who knew competitive fitness would be exciting to watch? But it seems to be. It's way more exciting to watch than like the fucking Olympics, which should be the, you know, the pinnacle of fitness competition. But anyway, what a strange question to end on, guys. I gotta get the fuck out of here. Know what I mean? I got shit to do. Lavish Comedy Club tonight. Got a load of shit to do. Yeah, so I watch it from afar. It's been a busy week. Gotta write some material. Patreon.com/TheGeneralBanterPodcast if you want to donate to the podcast. 2 weeks up in this bitch. And yeah, rate and review the podcast, all that shit. Stay in touch, guys, you know, just send me some DMs, send me some questions, read them out in the podcast, whatever. If I have any gigs to promote, all I want to do is do the best version of a show that I can, you know, and all I ask is that you go to them and sit there and be quiet, because you will laugh your bag off. You don't need to fucking, in fact, if that guy was only heckling to get attention, you'd have got way more attention had you sat there and said nothing and then come up to me afterwards and had a chat away for ages. But you shout stuff out and then you celebrate when you get a reply from me and Mickey, and secretly we're like, ah, good crack, but in our heads we're like, kneecap that cunt. Join the dead on mafia, that's it, just be sound as shit. Reasonable. Self-aware. I forgot the intro to this song was so fucking long. So long. 6 minutes, 21 seconds. Tell me that doesn't make you want to fucking just run through a wall. How does that not sound like asteroids just hitting fucking planets? And then don't even chat to me about the fucking outro. Come in. By the way, Kieran McMullen, who was shooting at our gig, was also shooting at this gig. She goes, "Oh, I got some photos of you in the pit," and I'm like, "Ah, don't show me those. I'm 31, bro." But anyway, this bit here. Ah.
Talk about mosh pits.
By the way, the song is "And So I Watch You From Afar," Clenched Fists, Grit Teeth, Go. Great, great name. I'll see you next week. Rate and review it. Enjoy it.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi everybody, it's Andy and James here from your next favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, we do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely, I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.